Testing, are we on?
Yep.
The thing that Kiala brought up yesterday about not understanding what it means to don't resist temptation, but say yes to Jesus. I want to talk about that for a minute. But first, go to Zephaniah. Chapter 1. Zephaniah is a word in Hebrew that means hidden of God. Zephaniah is an incredible book if you have any understanding of the mystery, because it tells us that we should live each second of each day as if we were on the judgment seat. It says that it gives you this incredible sense of urgency that it forces you into faith because of the fear of God, and that each moment is given to Him. There's not, faith is no longer a commodity. It's the way of living, instead of faith to get something or faith to do something. And so, in Zephaniah is really the definition of sloth. And this is internal. You'll never admit this, but the way you conduct your life reveals that you believe in that sloth is your. It reveals that you believe what this says. In verse 12. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and will punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. That's the pure definition of sloth. And it has the component of time in it, because if you believe that there is time left, then you can say, well, I believe that he's going to do something in the future, but at this moment he will do neither good nor evil. Therefore, my life and how I conduct my life is dependent on my own understanding. Whether I have debt or whether I have any issue I'm dealing with, I have to take it to me, because I believe he may, you know, you can. This is a philosophy. He may do something in the future. But this moment, he will do good, neither do good, neither will he do evil. Do you understand that? It's really unbelief, total unbelief. You can have a philosophy that you can say, well, God's going to come back to Jerusalem and he's going to do all this stuff. But in the meantime, you've got to take your life in your own hands, and God expects you to do the best you can. It's just a pure lie.
One thing that strikes me is the reason he's using candles is getting down to those little places that you're not familiar with.
Remember this candle. Remember Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem was built like no other temple, because windows are normally to let light in. The windows of the temple, especially in the feast, but on the Feast of Tabernacles especially, these humongous candles, they're not candles, they're almost like searchlights, they had a tremendous amount of olive oil in them, and the wicks for these candles were made of the used clothes of the priests, and it lighted every corner of Jerusalem from that place. So that there was nothing hidden. And that was what was done before they had the marriage supper of the Lamb on the eighth day. What?
Well, this is very powerful.
So
the idea of being exposed to the fact that you don't, that you do believe this, and that it's not.
You're settled on your lees. It doesn't matter. You understand what it means to be settled?
Mm-hmm.
The lees are the, they're talking about the making of wine. All right. Everybody understand that?
I don't understand. That's fine. You don't have to explain.
Well, it's important. The in for use for the wine that was used in the temple services, it had to be, it had to be incredibly refined. And so they had these vats. And the first they'd crush the grapes and they'd go in the vat. And then by the process of what the word is, prophecy, nabi, the wine would begin to bubble. As, and really it's rotting, if you want to know the truth. It and part of the sediment or the crap falls down to the bottom, and the lighter crap flows up to the top. And so then they would carefully pour it into the next vat, and it was done in a fulcrum kind of thing, and that so that they would first they would take something and scrape off all of the top stuff that had risen to the top, and then they would slowly pour the wine into the next and leave the crap in the bottom, and then they'd do that 7 times. And so to be settled in your lees means that you've lost zeal. You're just sitting there like a bump in a log, and you're waiting for something to happen to you. Full of crap on top and on the bottom. But you are now the temple of God, and so and you are the this, and your mind is your new Jerusalem, or your Jerusalem that now is. And so it has, that light has to shine to every nook and cranny of your mind, so that you no longer have any emotional golden molten images, which are your emotions, and the graven images, which are the way you think things should be. You no longer conform to any aspect of the world. There's nothing about you that's time dependent. There's nothing, no belief system that would change with time or circumstance or place. And that's, if you're settled in your lees, then you can afford to have a belief system or political system or any other thought process that is dependent only on this narrow window of time, and it's just horse crap. Okay? All right. So the whole thing is this. It's say, don't say no to temptation, but say yes to Jesus. Now let's see what that means. But I wanted to first get to this, that he will neither good nor good nor evil. Okay, go to Hebrews 2. Now, you know, I want you to look at your life and find out, do you really believe, is in your heart of hearts, don't you really believe that he will neither do good nor do evil at any given moment? Because you've got to lean on your own arm of understanding to take care of something. It's especially true if you're in the well, it's true all over, but it's especially true if you're somebody like Gary. Because Gary is always convinced that I don't know what he's doing now, but he was always convinced that his life was different outside in the world. He had to do all these cause and effect things in order to exist in the world.
That temptation in my flesh is always there, and I don't expect it to leave. I expect that I will repent of it when I see it.
Instantly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole injunction of being here and there, and I don't believe that anymore. Just to clear the record here, when I walk out the door, it's not any different than being right here.
So,
but it's taken 20 years of, you know.
How many years?
Well, the first 15 I don't count.
No, the other thing was, the other thing that people always said, oh, I forgot. and that always confused me to no end. How could you possibly forget?
Falling asleep in life.
Except by falling asleep. When you think you're in the moment.
You know, though, you started this conversation with, look at your life. That's a trick.
Examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
Because when you say stuff like, you know, look at your life, you kind of just go, that doesn't even involve.
Yeah, but it involves it if this is, if you have a hidden part of you that believes he'll neither do good or do no evil.
Yeah.
But he's everything.
Here we go again. You have to come to repentance. You don't do the same, you know. Again, we're back to this thing. Walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Or the other one. You know, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved.
Right.
So that it requires that everything has to be instant. It can't, you can't keep anything, you know, you can't have any little thing that's going on that you're dealing with something.
Yeah, I get that.
All right.
What made me think, too, is you don't believe in your mind. You know, that you think in your mind, but belief is a whole other place.
Well, again, that's why it says don't give rest to your eyes or sleep or rest to your head or sleep to your eyes until you found out the habitation of the Holy One. Unless you know that Jesus Christ is in you and he is the owner of the temple, then you will always come up and always have these issues of something's going on, or I gotta deal with something, or this has to happen, blah 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 blah. Again, this whole thing will just be a philosophy. It's not an instantaneous life. And you'll never prophesy because you'll stop and think about what you're going to say. And if you don't have anything to say, you'll try to make something up.
Yeah, this,
and everything is trying instead of being.
And you can, by your intellect, say, well, I know this doctrine. I can spout the words and think that that's going to do it. But that's
but
why
you always get caught.
Yeah, and that's why you have to abandon everything you know, this stuff. The minute you try and do this stuff, you're just as bad as it is.
Okay, do you understand the predicate for everything I believe and teach? That you were perfected by one offering, that everything is exactly as it should be, that everything is perfect from his will, that your warfare is over, everything is finished. Okay? Okay, now, with that as a predicate. Hebrews 2, verse 6. But in one certain place he testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. All things in subjection under his feet. That means that everything is finished, everything is perfect except your mind. Right? Can you understand that? There's many other places that says that.
Except your mind?
Yeah. Okay. Go to Colossians. Let's keep your bookmark in Hebrews 2 and go to Colossians 1.
Colossians 1.
Colossians 1. Ronnie, I turned right to it.
Oh, did you? Damn, you beat me.
Damn.
I'm not there yet.
Chapter 1, verse 20.
Yeah, I'm going right on
it. Did you find it? Verse 12, 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by its wicked works, yet now are they reconciled. So it's only in your mind. Your mind is the only enemy of God on the face of the earth.
But has that been reconciled?
It's been reconciled, but you don't know it, so you keep acting like an idiot.
But now
have
to reconcile.
Oh.
Ronnie. Oh.
That's why you were transfigured by the renewing of your mind, so that your every corner and nick and cranny of your mind knows it's finished, sees it's finished, knows that you've been perfected by one offering, knows that you're exactly as you should be, instead of gadding about to change yourself or worrying about some little crap that's going on.
So that's the reconciliation, is what you just said.
Right, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Oh, you said transfigured for 2 years. Can you give me a definition?
It's when Christ, when all of time and space and all law lost hold on him, and he ascended to the Father. And that's your only vocation, it's your only avocation, it's your only purpose in life, to be transfigured.
Simply by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
This is like the empowerment to say yes to Jesus. This
That's right.
Information right here.
Now we're going to see it more clearly. Go back to Hebrews 2.
It almost sounds like a renewal.
That's what it says. But renewal is an interesting, it says, be ye transformed or transfigured is what it means, metamorpho, by the renewal of your mind. But the renewal is anakinesis in the Greek, and it means a gradual conforming to that which already is.
Ew. That's cool. I like that. It already is.
Yeah, all you have to do is empty.
Yeah, that's cool.
See, all of the other stuff in your mind is empty and futile and vain. Then you can be instead of trying to be.
It's all there. You don't have to create it.
You just have to empty. And so every little opinion you have has to be gone. And if you I empty everything, but then I pick something back up. You don't just to pick that up. You pick back up the whole damn thing. Because you raise the evil one from his deadly head wound. Then you again sit there and judge what's right and wrong, good and evil, instead of just living in that moment of dependence. And how do I do? What do I do about this? So I don't know what to do about that. Oh, blah, blah. Oh, poor you. Understand?
10:4.
Hebrews 2. Thou hast put, in verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That means total subjection. Everything is operating exactly as it should under his feet, except your mind. Now listen. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. And if you don't know what that means, then don't have any sloth. Stay in that moment. Stay in that situation, no matter what it costs you, to find out until you see him in that. What the natural tendency is, we try to avoid suffering or pain, and we move toward pleasure. Or we move toward escape. So we do everything. You know, and we have 10,000 things more to do now to escape. We have television, we have liquor, we have drugs, we have sex, we have all these things by which we try to escape that moment. And when we escape the moment, we faint in our mind, and therefore you learn nothing from it. Ever since your moment of self-awareness, God has put millions of obstacles in your path, hoping you would stop. But no, you have to obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead. And that's considered to be an asset in the world. it's the worst thing there is.
So, the person know that God is putting obstacles in his way?
No, the person just thinks there's something evil happened that I'm, and it makes me a victim, and I've got all these problems. I got diabetes, and I got this and that, and I got to deal with everything every day.
And I don't want to hear people yelling at me.
I don't want to have to get up on time.
The person.
Is that, am I communicating?
You know anybody like that?
You know anybody like that, Ronnie?
That kind of brings it home, doesn't it?
I'm trying to search my memory. That's true. That's
fine. Any other questions?
My brother Ronnie, yesterday, he said to me yesterday afternoon, you go on a Bible study? I said, yeah, are you? He goes, no. I said, well, why are you asking me?
He sits
me?
In his room and watches television.
I know. I said, why aren't you going? He goes, I don't want to get yelled at.
Poor Ronnie. There poor he knows. Now he's a victim of Oli again. Poor Ronnie.
Ronnie, I love you. Don't be mad at me because I just outed you right now. Don't be mad.
He's way down the mouse.
Okay, so do you understand now what it means to say, don't say no to temptation? If you resist it, you empower it. You say yes to him. You endure in that temptation in the test until you see him. So simple.
Yeah, it is.
But it's everything your mind doesn't want to do. Your mind wants to just sleep another few minutes. All right, now let's go to 1 John chapter 3.
I'm thinking about a lot. What I think started this was it smoking? It got this.
Oh, God.
Something kicked off. It's like a lot of people think, well, smoking is evil. Well, step out here away from God and have my cigarette. But yeah.
You don't feel as close to God as you used to. Who moved?
Yeah, so you just say, God, let's go have a cigarette.
No, I smoked when I first became a believer. And smoked for quite a while, and so I'm on television 17 days after with these real righteous guys, right? And so I'm hosting a talk show, co-hosting, and so we have all these singers and you know these people that are all dressed up and everything. You're never supposed to wear a white shirt because they have the Plumicon cameras in. So I, on purpose, wore a white shirt every night just to mess with the camera.
Yes.
But then this one guy, he was a singer, J.T. Adams from...
I remember him.
Okay, well, J.T., when he was there, he always sat next to me. And he was always busting me on something, mostly about cussing or about I was smoking cigarettes. And he saw me smoke. And so he got on this righteous kick and he said... How can you abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit by smoking a cigarette? I reached over and grabbed his gut, and it was big. And this is on television. I grabbed his gut, and I said, how in God's name can you make the temple of the Holy Spirit a fat glob here? I said, you missed the whole point. It's not about that. But anyway, we got a lot of letters over that. I had a talent to generate mail.
None of it good.
No, a lot of it was good.
No, I bet a lot of it was good.
All right.
1 John. Chapter 1.
Now listen, I want you to hear this as if it was a personal letter written from the hand of God to you. Each one of you.
Yes, that's one.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Where are you?
1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
I'm not in chapter 3. Gotcha.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And the word sons there is just a generic term, but it means legitimate children. Now we are the legitimate children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And And that's not talking about when he's coming someday over there. It's when you see him in every one of these situations. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is so good.
Yeah.
And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that doesn't mean you have to do anything about it. It means that if you, as you see him, you shall be like him. For you shall see him as he is. And it's an, in Greek, it's an, it means it happens automatically as you see him in the deals, in the issue that you're dealing with.
Wow.
You see it? Now let's go to one other, Galatians. What?
Yeah, none of this happens when you're...
You're trying to get it right.
Well, or when you're a quarter full of yourself, or there's a drop of yourself, it comes in a repentance.
And total and empty abandonment of self.
That, like you've said a thousand times, that allows him to enter in.
You got to remember this. I'll say it until I die. His humility is so great that he cannot occupy any part of you while you're there. He has to take the back seat. He has to empty. And let you continue on in your way until you see it's vain and empty. And you can't sit back. And this is, I won't mention any names, but this is what somebody was in here was doing for a long time. And well, I'm just going to continue doing whatever I do, and then it has to be up to God to reveal it. You have to know that the predicate for our life is the moment that Christ was baptized. The axe was laid to the root of the trees. And that's the human race. The axe was laid to the root of all human beings. Because they could not, with everything he did, the humans, they ended up killing him. We killed him.
That was at the cross, right?
Right. Yeah. And then we kill him daily because we crucify him afresh every time we bring it back to us. All right, listen. In verse 12, chapter 6 of Galatians. I want you to each get there so you know that I'm not making it up.
Yeah, it's a bit late for that.
Because here's what will happen. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Fair show is the words, it means to put on makeup or outwardly change.
Number
Galatians
what?
6, verse 12.
12.
You got it?
Got it.
As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. And that means put on an act. Put on, be something you're not. Do something to whatever it is. They constrain you to be circumcised. Now the word circumcised in the Greek language, long before it was ever, they knew anything about God stuff, the word for the Greek word that you translated here as circumcised means to stop doing something or to start doing something. In other words, to change something. So they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they constrain you to be different than you are because you become an embarrassment to them. And they don't want to suffer persecution because of how you act or how you be. Now, I promise you, this... I can't tell you how many people have wanted me not to be like I am because if they were around me, I embarrass them. A whole lot of people here in their life apologize for me. Gary is one of the major ones. Embarrassing. Well, that's what somebody tells me anyway.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
That's what you're going through with your parents. They constrain you to be different, lest they should suffer persecution.
But it almost seems as if it's only time dependent. I mean, when it's here, they're fine. But when I'm when they're not here and I am who I am where they live,
then you're embarrassment.
It's a completely different story. And they all just my mom just does a 180.
Yeah, you've heard me talk about this before, but Harry was just absolutely appalled when he went with me. Because I treated my mother just like I treated her young. I couldn't have had better. Or it was just terrible all the time when I took him, especially when I didn't try to change. Well, that was a stupid mistake, wasn't it?
Stop talking about my mom already. That's exactly what
I'm saying. And then we went to go see Harry's mother. And we went to New Jersey and New York. No, I didn't do anything. I just lost Harry. And so Harry became the most obese yielded to everything. Can I do anything for you, mother? Oh, I love you, mother. Oh, everything is so great. And he, for about 2.5 days, and then he couldn't stand it.
And then he couldn't stand it. He went nuts on himself. That's weird.
Sounds like a bribe, basically.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, it's just, you know, it's culture.
Your sister, her first visit here, we're someplace talking, she turns around just out of the blue, totally off the topic, goes, "So what do you think of my brother?" And I'm kind of startled, and I go, "Well, you know, he's kind of rough around the edges with the social graces, but he's really a nice guy." You just see the look on her.
Yeah, until recently, my sister was just, you know, she was, she couldn't have a relationship with me because either I embarrassed her or she was trying to live up to some standard. She had to follow me in school, which wasn't, she didn't, you know, that was unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
She was not herself, she was Polly's sister.
Yeah. So I used to love it when I went home because the people I didn't know, they just knew me as Edna's boy. Yeah.
Ew, Sue's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you anymore, Holly. Wow.
Take it, big guy. Got any more questions, Ronnie?